Welcome to episode 131 of C3 Crystals, Cauldrons, and Cocktails. I'm River.
And I'm Ren.
And today we're going to talk about garden magic.
Yes, yay. But we also want to apologize.
Oh, yeah.
This episode is a couple of hours late.
Yeah, it's been a long week for both of us. So We apologize. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But it is that time of year, and it's so easy to become disconnected from the natural world, especially during the winter months. Yeah. So it's wonderful to get reconnected with nature as spring starts to roll in. And what better way to do that than through gardening?
Woo-woo.
But first, of course, what are we drinking? So this week's drink is called the Gregarious Gardener. And I don't know what it is about spring, but it always makes me want tequila. But, there it is. So this one is nice and herby. You've got mint, cilantro, sage, if you like, and you muddle all that with lime juice, simple syrup, and tequila. You put it into a shaker with ice and then strain it into a cocktail glass. And It is lovely.
It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Not nutritious.
Yeah, not nutritious. You can use whatever herbs that you might like, but I like mint and cilantro. Sage is a little bit strong for me, but...
Yeah, I didn't use cilantro. I hate cilantro.
Really?
I'm a person with that gene. Apparently, it's like a 50-50 split upon population of you like cilantro or you...
Or you hate
like
it.
Absolute worst thing that's ever happened. And I do think that it's the worst thing that has ever happened. So
I don't like it in large quantities, but I do like little twang that it gives.
Nope, I don't like it at all. If there's a hint in any type of like dip or salsa or just like any dish, you know how they garnish, like a lot of people garnish with cilantro. I just cannot. I can't do it. And I always like when my husband and I, when we go to restaurants, if there's anything with cilantro in it, I'm like, no cilantro, please.
Oh.
I hate it. But no, I made this drink. So my drink is made with mint. And then I know you added sage. I don't really vibe with sage in my drinks, but I put some lavender because I've been on a lavender kick.
Oh, yeah. That goes well with tequila, too.
And instead of lime juice, I did lemon juice because I had lemons on hand.
Okay. So fun. Yeah. And that's what's so exciting about the cocktails we do is they can be transformed any way you want. That's it's very fun.
Oh, my gosh. I made homemade lemonade the other day.
Oh yeah, you sent me a picture.
And it turned brown.
It was an odd color.
It's brown because it's the sugar that I use. I use like a mix of brown sugar and
I see. Okay.
So it was the sugar, but I didn't expect to have to use that much. Now, you know those large pickle jars that you get from wholesale food, like Costco
Sam's Club.
So I had one of those jars and I still had pickles in it and I had littler jars. I didn't have that many pickles left. So I was like, I'm going to cut up the pickles because they were whole pickles. So I made spears out of a couple and chips out of a couple and poured whatever juice I could into it and then poured the rest of the juice out. And I washed it, and that's what my lemonade is in, because I didn't have a jar big enough to put my lemonade in because I wanted to make a lot. And so I didn't know how much sugar I was going to need to be using. So it made my lemonade like a darker brown kind.
That doesn't sound appetizing, but it's good?
It's very good. And what I did is it's very concentrated. So there's like a lot of water, obviously, and sugar, but it's very lemony. Like I put a lot of lemon juice in it and like lemon slices. So it's very concentrated. So whenever I pour it into like my pitcher, when I'm going to serve it, I do about half a pitcher, add more water.
Oh, nice.
And it's like it evens out really well.
That's a good garden drink too, and you could add vodka or whatever you want to it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No,
that's where my brain goes.
Yeah, it's very good, and I was excited because I haven't been able to be in the kitchen and do all my like little cookie stuff that I want to do. So I made some lemonade, and I have three lemons left over. Like I used a whole bag of lemon, and I have three lemons. Whoa, my voice just went
out. Wow, what happened there?
I have three lemons left, and I really want to make like lemon squares or like a lemon cake, like a gluten-free lemon cake. I really, really want to.
We went to Jay Christopher's the other morning for breakfast, and they have a new special, and it's lemon type pancake type things with ricotta cheese. And I thought of you when I was that there, but they're not gluten-free. So
good. No, I haven't been able to have a gluten-free pancake in a long time. And I think it was after 3 years of being gluten-free that my husband and I went to a restaurant, and it was a breakfast place, and it said gluten-free pancakes. And I was like, I don't care what I'm supposed to be eating right now, if I'm supposed to be eating healthy, if I'm just like, I said, I'm getting pancakes, but I can't just have any normal plain pancake. I have to have a chocolate chip pancake. And my mouth is watering. Oh my God. It was amazing. The
Even
best
gluten-free. That's
pancake
awesome.
I have ever eaten. It was so good. I only say that because I haven't had a pancake in a while and I love pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. I love food.
Me too. Well, let's get into garden magic because you can make food from your gardens too, depending on what kind of garden you do. Garden magic, which is also sometimes called green magic or herbalism magic, it's a belief system that's rooted in the idea that plants possess magical properties that can be harnessed for healing, protection, and spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about growing flowers or vegetables, but it's kind of like you're cultivating a sacred space where you can commune with the elements, the spirits of nature, the plants that are all around you. It can ground you into the earth. So it's a wonderful practice to have.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the fundamental practices or principles of green magic or garden magic is that all things are interconnected, all living things.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're cultivating a garden, you seek to create a harmonious ecosystem where plants, animals, and humans can coexist in balance. So, and that not only benefits the environment, but also fosters a sense of reverence for the earth and its inhabitants. It really can help you in your practice, even if you're not a quote garden witch.
Mm-hmm.
It can still bring you closer to your own practice, I think, and your own spirituality. But like, picture this, you're knee deep in soil, surrounded by this kaleidoscope of colors, and you feel that unmistakable energy, that nature's energy. That is garden magic.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a bunch of us have all felt that energy that's out there in your garden when you're working with the plants and you're knee deep in nature. So
it's the
best
feeling.
It really is. It's about tapping into that natural rhythm of the earth and harnessing its energy and infusing your garden with intention and wonder and joy and magic. So what's in a garden? There's all kinds of gardens. So first, let's address the most common plants that we all see, the weeds. Can't get away from the weeds. And while some people might think that these little pesky boogers are, they sprout up overnight and they're these invasive creatures that, you know, try to take over your garden,
mm-hmm.
but they're really, you can tap into a world of potential with these weeds because like dandelions are considered weeds. So, you know, that weeds are plants as well, and they might be the key to unlocking your garden's true magical potential. Or at the very least, you can put them in a salad and eat them.
Yeah, that is true. There's really a lot of benefits to dandelions that I know we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about dandelions in one of our herb episodes, I think.
I think so. I love dandelions.
Like, and there's medicinal benefits, and you know, it's good for your animals as well, and you and
feeds the bees. Mm-hmm. Great for making cocktails. We did the dancing dandelion cocktail for our drink of the month for April. Teas, it's wonderful in tea. Mm-hmm. And you can use it in food. I mean, just be real careful because the green part is super bitter. So you want to just get the yellow petals out and use the yellow petals, because if you get that green, it does have a bitter flavor. You can eat them, but just be aware of what you're using it for in your cooking, because it's going to give that bitter taste, which might be something you want mm-hmm. for some things, but not necessarily for others.
Yeah, my mind is going wild now with like, what would it go well with? Like a bitter.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about the other plants of the garden. So you've got the humble basil plant that wards off mosquitoes. You've got majestic sunflowers that turn their faces towards the sun. Each plant has its own brand of magic. Mm-hmm. And don't forget that the magic, mystical properties of these herbs they mean something. They correspond to things like luck. You might want to throw some parsley into your pasta sauce to help luck. You want to attract love. Plant some rosemary by your front door. That is supposed to attract love. So do research on the herbs that you want to grow in your garden to see mm-hmm. what they correspond with. And then, as we have always said, it's your intent that makes things too. So when you're planting your mm-hmm. garden, plant with intent for what you're hoping to harvest. And then, of course, you can't talk about garden magic without a nod to our little furry and feathered friends that like to visit our gardens. So from the mischievous squirrels, which my husband wants to shoot, and I'm feeding them, you know, I take food out.
I was about
for
to
them,
say, like, you're the one who's feeding them. Like, you put out food and they come over and they just like munch on all these yummy goodness.
They do. I put peanuts in the shell for the squirrels. I put bird seed out there for the birds. You know, of course, they might steal your strawberries, or they might dig in your tulip bulbs, but mm-hmm. you know, you can't stay mad at these little adorable creatures.
I think there's like you need to find a balance between, you know, you're feeding them, but then that means they shouldn't be stealing your strawberries or anything.
That's my thought. You just leave a few extra seeds and things out there for them, and maybe they won't get into your garden.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah, my husband doesn't believe it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But then the stars of any garden, garden gnomes.
Oh, man, I love a good garden gnome.
I know, I do too. Yeah, these little pint-sized dudes, they spend their days standing stoically among the flowers and watching over our garden. I just love them. Some people say they're just decorative, but maybe not. Maybe there's more to it than meets the eye. So in addition to gnomes, why not place fairy houses to welcome nature's creatures and help your garden grow?
You know, mm-hmm. I want to do all of that, but I only have a small little balcony.
Yeah, you don't have much room.
There's
on
only
your
so much
balcony
that I can do. And now I'm torn between trying to make space for, you know, more plants. Because mm-hmm. I have a small little shelf, but on that shelf, you can only fit so many plants. And I have another shelf that has water damage that I'm like, I don't need to throw it away. I'm going to use it, but I need to just throw it away.
I remember the other night we were on the phone together and you were talking about more plants that you wanted to get. You wanted to get some flowers because you've got some
flowers.
Vegetables. And I heard him in the background go, no more.
He did. He was like, he looked at me. I know he was like, no more. And I was like, one more. Because
that was so funny.
I usually get flowers, just in general, because I really like mm-hmm. them and they're really pretty and it livens up like our little balcony area. And this year I didn't get flowers. And so I'm sad and aww. I wanted to get them, but now I'm trying to think about how I can propagate some ivy that we have.
Oh yeah.
And maybe have it grow
that.
On like our balcony. What do you call fence? It's not a fence, but ledge.
Railing.
So hopefully I can do that soon. I just haven't had enough time to get outside to find mm-hmm. the ivy to be able to do that. And so I'm talking, but it's still not as like bright and colorful as flowers, which I really like. I know.
Yeah,
flowers,
you've still
just
done a lot with that little space.
There's still so much more that could be
done.
Like,
a lot
I
with
have
that little space.
I am a hoarder. Yeah. I have, what is it called? Like, I have old antique wood slabs, and they're nothing that I can like make a whole table out of or end table, like maybe an end table. There's just like small cuts of like 150-year-old your reclaimed wood, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I have nothing to do with it. I don't have tools at my house, you know, because we have no space to put any power right. tools. And so we don't have any of those to be able to just be like, yep, I'm going to go make something real quick. It's either yeah. I have to come over to your place and use like whatever your husband mm-hmm. has. Your poor husband, he's probably like, stop using my tools. And so it's just like, we have that sitting outside on our balcony right now. And it's just taking up a lot of space that plants mm-hmm. could be in. I would say I would put plants, more plants. So I just feel very cluttered out there right now.
Yeah.
Which is sad. And I yeah. want my garden to be beautiful and have fairy houses and mm-hmm. all of that. But right now I have reclaimed wood and empty, empty pots.
Aw. Well, what makes a garden witchy? So, anything. I mean, I think it's deeply personal to you and, you know, to whatever yeah. makes it witchy for you.
Yes.
You know, you practitioners often develop a close relationship with their plants. They learn to listen to their needs, their rhythms. You can see when they're not feeling well. And then we call Greg and say, help us, please.
Yeah, help. diagnose my lavender plant. Yeah.
What is wrong with my plant? But you might engage in rituals to honor the changing seasons or perform spells that help promote growth and abundance or create herbal remedies for your physical or emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. You're connecting to the land. So you're encouraging this life to grow from seeds. And how cool is that? Mm-hmm. And tending the green world every day is magic in its most raw form, which is just yeah. lovely.
Yeah.
And I mean, any garden created by a witch or made with intention of using plants is a witchy garden. So I think it's more about your witchiness, what speaks to you. There are some witches that are very goth, so they might want dark plants, or there's witches that are hippies, more like you, that yeah. might want a lot of color. Some people don't want to grow vegetables. They just want all the flowers. So, mm-hmm. but it's still witchy because it's your garden.
Yeah.
So
anything, you know, and then anything that you do that resonates with you can be, in a sense, like whatever you want to, you know, attach witchy to. Like it, mm-hmm. it can be anything.
I mean, I feel like we all can feel that magic out there, that mm-hmm. that energy, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
In a witchy garden. Yeah. And then, of course, there are those correspondences, you know, for luck or health or love or whatever. And mm-hmm. so it is fun to research those things and go, oh, well, I need a lot of luck, so I'm going to plant X, Y, and Z, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun. Just
so yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about garden rituals.
For sure.
And I know we've touched on some of this, and some of this is probably just like, yeah, duh, you know, mm-hmm. but I thought it was very interesting. And as somebody who doesn't really have a green thumb, I didn't think about some of these things. So
mm-hmm. okay.
One of the things I wanted to talk about is the timing and season. So I know okay. that you can plant like a lot of the main plants. You can tell I'm great at garden information, are planted during like the spring into the summer, so that they're full and we're ready to harvest later on. But mm-hmm. there are also plants that you can plant in autumn and all of that.
Oh yeah.
So harvest rituals typically occur during the autumn months, aligning with the culmination, that's a big word, of the growing season, when crops are ripe and ready for harvesting. The timing may coincide with traditional harvest festivals such as Mabon, or, you know, which is also the autumn equinox, mm-hmm. or Samhain. I was going to say Samhain because that's how it's spelled and I read, and which is towards the end of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
You're also going to want to prepare and plan. So before the rituals take place, garden witches, or anybody, if you want a different title, call blank, may engage in preparations such as selecting the fruits, vegetables, herbs, and other offerings from their garden or local farms, which I do say shop local farm or
mm-hmm.
what are those cute like little farmers markets. There we go. My brain.
Yes, yes,
I was trying to market farms. That wasn't the right word. they may also gather as in they, as in you, may also gather symbolic items such as grains, seeds, nuts, and seasonal flowers to decorate the ritual space.
You know, speaking of preparing and planting and that kind of thing, I did read, I think April 1st was Planting Naked Day.
Oh, I think we've talked about this.
I think so. There was some day that you're supposed to plant naked. And I also read somewhere that harvesting naked is a thing. And I was telling my husband, I'm like, should we plant naked this year? And he's like, no. Our neighbors would be calling the cops.
I'm trying to think of something to say to that. Like,
yeah, I guess I'll have to wait until we move out onto a secluded farm or something before I can plant
no
and harvest
direct
naked.
Neighbors next to you.
Oh,
and then like you were saying, like set a sacred space. So mm-hmm. The ritual space is often, it can be mostly outdoors, but you can also have like a little windowsill of herbs or mm-hmm. whatever works for you, like a little greenhouse, whatever it may mm-hmm. be, like a little stand, you know, portable. Yeah. And it can be any setting, basically natural setting, or directly connected to the earth and the fruits of the harvest. You can also have altars that have representations of these things with elements of earth, air, fire, and water. Mm-hmm. It can have seasonal symbols such as pumpkins, gourds, cornucopias, if you're more in
depending on that area. Season. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And items reflecting the bounty of the harvest. So you can have rituals and everything go into it by having invocations. You can, dedicate it to a deity, spirits of the land, or any force of nature associated with abundance, fertility, harvest, or whatever resonates with you.
Yeah.
Garden witches may offer prayers, chants, like I said, invocations, expressing that gratitude for the blessings of the earth and invocating blessings upon the harvest, which I really didn't quite think of when you think of gardening and harvesting. Let's say you planted tomatoes, mm-hmm. you finally have the fruit and you go and pull it. But I never thought to thank the earth, which I know is weird because we always say, be grateful for everything that is provided to us. And so it's just funny that I never even thought about thanking the earth or
making a ritual out of it. Yeah.
Doing anything like that or So that I think is going to be something that I will incorporate in my practice when I do harvest my tomatoes or peppers mm-hmm. that I have or lavender. If it survives.
Which Greg is helping her with.
A deep sigh. I don't know. We'll talk about that later. So with this, you have offerings and sharing. So offerings of the harvested crops along with bread, wine, or other seasonal foods, which that just sounds amazing. Bread, wine, mm-hmm. all the goodies that you harvested yourself sounds amazing. Or other seasonal foods, like I said, are presented as gifts to the earth and to the spirits.
Yeah, it would be a glass of wine for me, a glass of wine for you.
A glass of wine for you, exactly. Some rituals involve sharing these offerings communally, if I said that properly. Mm-hmm. I always mm-hmm. struggle with that word. Either through a feast or by donating them to those in need, symbolizing the spirit of generosity and abundance.
Yeah, that would be something that would be awesome if you have a huge garden mm-hmm. that you can share it with your neighbors like we do because we get overzealous with the amount of squash that we grow and then it all comes in and we're like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this? And so we go and give it to the neighbors. But if you have even a bigger garden, you can donate to homeless shelters. They're always in need of food, mm-hmm. you know, food shelters, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So
yes, absolutely.
Definitely. And by doing that, you're giving back to the community just like the earth gave to you. And mm-hmm. so it can be a very spiritual ritual.
Mm-hmm. 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 Garden witches may perform symbolic actions to bless the harvest, such as sprinkling sacred water or salt, lighting candles or bonfires, or scattering seeds or grains as offerings.
Doesn't salt like make stuff not grow?
I don't know.
I always heard you sow the land with salt to keep it from growing things.
No, because I don't remember the source I got this from. It's somewhere in my notes.
Okay.
But
okay.
It said sprinkle salt. I don't know. I mean, okay. I know that salt is like a cleansing thing. I am uneducated in what it does to plants. I read it and I went, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. Well, I don't think
it's meaning dumping a lot of salt. Like, I don't think it means anything like that. Just like a light sprinkle, like literally a pinch or whatever. If salt is something that you use in your practice, you can use it in gardening, but like how you said, don't use a lot, like just maybe or like water. I think water makes more sense, but
I mean, it does. I like the idea of watering your plants with moon water or charged sun water.
Did you get eclipse water?
I did not think about it.
I got eclipse water, but I didn't.
Oh, that's so neat.
I didn't have any jars. So it's in a Star Wars shaker cup.
You know, I love like that,
gym,
though.
Like the working out gym cups, like the shaker cups. It's in that. I was like, I hope that it's fine because the bottle itself is black. Like, it's not clear glass like how I usually have. Okay. And so I was like, will it even be affected by the eclipse?
I bet that's more appropriate for an eclipse to have a black. I mean, that's clever. And you didn't
and
even
it's
mean
Star
to do
Wars.
It. And Star Wars, which is awesome.
So I set it out and I was like, I hope this is fine. And I brought it in. It was later that day, but you know, my opinion on leaving, like, let's say you have moon water and you forget to bring it in until like the next day or afternoon after you get home from work, you're like, oh shoot, I left my moon water. I don't think that anything happens. So it's charged by the moon and sun.
And the sun.
So I don't think if you did put out eclipse water and you're like, damn, I left it out, so now it doesn't count. It still counts, I think. To me, it counts because it has the charge of the eclipse and of whatever else like it was.
Well, it was also the eclipse. It was also the new moon that day. And it was the new moon that was crossing in front of the sun, which is, to me, super powerful. So that you'll have to do something special with your eclipse water.
I'm trying to think. I don't know what to do with it now.
I know. That's very cool.
You know, I have a bad habit because I still have like a huge jar full of, oh gosh, what moon was it that I see? I can't even remember the moon, but it was like it was the double moon. So what was that? August?
Was that the blue moon? Where it was second moon in the month.
It was August.
I don't remember. I don't remember when it last was.
Well, whenever it was, which is we're now in April. Okay. I haven't touched it. I haven't used it because I don't want to use it on the wrong thing.
I like to use moon waters in baths, ritual baths.
That is a good thing, but I don't really take baths. So I don't really do a ritual bath every now and then, but not recently. I could. Now, I did use it. When did I use it? I used it lightly. Like I sprinkled it onto something, but I don't remember what that was.
Okay.
Maybe a jar spell or something.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know what to do. And this is eclipse water. So if you see me with this blue moon, whatever it's called, magic water, and I don't use it on that, imagine how long my eclipse water is going to sit. Like, I just cannot.
Until the next eclipse in 2044.
Exactly. Like, I cannot use it. Maybe I will water my plants. Maybe I'll try to water my lavender.
That might help.
Maybe it'll help.
Maybe.
Or it'll kill it. I don't know. Either way, I'll try something. So, back on track. So, garden witches may perform symbolic actions. Did I already say this? Yes, I did.
I think so. Because we were talking about the salt.
Yeah, we were in the salt and the sacred water. These actions are often accompanied by prayers or blessings invocating prosperity, fertility, blessings to come for the next harvest, etc. It can be invocations. It could just be a manifestation. It could be a feeling. You don't have to, you know, stand over the plant and say anything that you don't want to. Like, you don't have, it doesn't have to be this whole ritualistic thing if you don't want it to be.
Yeah, so, it can be a simple thank you.
Or just like a boop, and you just be like, okay.
Okay.
And that's it. Like, whatever it means to you in this way. And now, this is a lot. And we're saying, like, oh, off, like, you have invocations, set a sacred space, prepare, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It does get to be a lot. Maybe you just want to be like, I just want to plant my damn plants, you know?
And that's fair, and that's too.
Absolutely fine. And if that is too much for you, then maybe in the way of you watering your plants, that can be where you have all of your magic and you're putting mm-hmm. something into your plant. It's just what, like we always say, we're just giving you ideas and yeah, maybe that'll spark want. Something. Do what you want. I always say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want you to be like, oh, I have to do all of this stuff when I plant my plants. I have to, you know, set a sacred space and I have to have invocations made up and I have mm-hmm. to offer whatever I harvest to other people. You don't have to do any of that if you don't want to.
No, literally, but it would be fun.
It would be. And it would be an experience. I would say maybe try one year if you or, get overwhelmed. You don't have to do it all. You don't have to do any of it.
You could do just some of it, like have mm-hmm. a harvest party. If yeah. you've got a huge garden, have your neighbors or fellow witches or whatever come over and help you harvest and make a feast for
it would
and,
be
and drink fun. Mead.
And mead. Oh, man. Mead's so good. No, my husband and I, speaking of harvest party, mm-hmm. we are going to go harvest strawberries. And I'm so excited because you get to fill up the buckets and you pay for yes! the bucket, you know, and so you get to go and have fun. And my husband said, oh, I don't care about the strawberries. I was like, what do you care about when we go? He was like, the strawberry ice cream.
Oh,
they have fresh strawberry ice cream always made. Oh. And that's what he's excited about. Now, my husband and I, we have not been since I'm trying to think. I don't even know if we were married when we first went. It's been a while. Or maybe
that'll be fun. When are you doing
before we got married, or like almost immediately after we got married? Soon, because we drive by a strawberry farm, and there are cars pulling in, and there looks like they're open. So hopefully soon. So I'm super excited about that. So whenever I go, even though it's something that I didn't plant, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of take care of, I can still, you know, harvest it with those intentions and actions. Yes. And I'm going to make strawberry jam and
that's
gonna I'm
going to
make
so good.
Strawberry, since I have lemons, maybe a strawberry lemon cake of some sort. Mm. I'm so excited.
That is very exciting.
See, I told you we didn't need that many notes because we're just yabbering.
We are. I don't even know when we started. We still have a lot to talk about.
We do. So let's go on.
Okay. You want me to talk about what plants we should
yes.
plant?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't have to just choose plants because they're, quote, witchy. Oh, it's got to be
absolutely
black
not.
Ivy
yeah.
or mm-hmm. whatever.
It doesn't have to be a certain way.
Choose plants that you naturally connect with or that you use regularly. If you're a kitchen witch, maybe you cook with thyme all the time or thyme all the time. Maybe you're interested in developing a relationship with a plant that resonates with money, you know, so you're putting all of your energy into this endeavor. So invest in plants that are your true allies. This was something I had never heard of before. Fascinating to me. Okay. There is a thing called plant allies. And I was like, what the hell is a plant ally? Okay. So plant allies, I found this great article on it. Locust Light Farm has a great article about plant allies.
Mm-hmm.
A plant ally is a plant that you have a close relationship with, much like a close friend. And like close friends, plant allies will come and go throughout your life and move through different stages and journeys. Plant allies come into our lives at certain times to guide us, challenge us, encourage us, and as we move through life's adventures. Working with a plant ally can be one of the rewarding parts of your herbal and magical journey. They push you to learn more about yourself. They support you when you're feeling desperate and weary. And I must say, when I go out and work in the garden, mm-hmm. when I'm overwhelmed by work and I'm like, I just want to get out there and put my hands in the dirt, it rejuvenates you. And if you're working with one of these plant allies, it does the same thing.
How do you determine your plant ally?
I will tell you that in just a minute. Okay. Another great thing about plant allies is that when you learn how to connect with them, like when you really learn how to trust your intuition with this plant ally and you learn to listen to them and follow their guidance, your herbal intuition becomes super strong.
Okay. I'm going to make a joke. I don't know if it'll hit or miss, but I in my head, it's funny.
Okay.
Apparently, lavender isn't my plant ally. It's my plant anti.
Anti-ally. I agree. You know, though, I can't say anything because I've planted lavender and it kind of looks like your lavender. So I'm like, I'm reading all of the emails that Greg is sending you for mine.
No. You can't even say it looks like my lavender because my lavender still has green in it. Your lavender. It's just sad.
It's one side of it's brown.
So sad.
Well, I'm reading avidly whatever Greg writes. Also, plant allies we were talking about.
Or plant antis.
Plant anti-allies. Knowing that the plants are living, breathing characters with quirks and personalities all of their own, it is a genuine skill. Mm-hmm. And it's a skill that you can learn. And I bet Greg has this skill because he is 100% a green witch. Mm-hmm. So I bet he's listening to this going, yeah, everybody knows about plant allies. What's wrong with you two? Mm-hmm. But how do you find a plant ally? And I found another article because, again, this is something I knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. And so this article was by Little Eco Footprints. And they say how to find a plant ally. So number one, the first thing you have to do is step away from your screens. Turn off your phone.
I have a hard time doing that.
I do too.
I'm always on my screen, whether it's my computer, my phone, anything, TV.
Yeah. So that you've got to disconnect from technology.
Okay.
Grab a notebook or a journal, like we like to talk about. Another reason for another journal.
A gardening journal.
A garden journal.
For your plant allies.
Grab a pen and a thermos of tea or wine, you know,
whatever
it
may be.
A lemonade. And then you head out for a wander. So it like where you live, your apartment, there are trails that you can go and walk.
Yeah, we have a lot of trails. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my backyard is actually big enough that it's got trees and shrubs and, you know, I can actually get out into nature in my own backyard, or you can go to a park. Maybe there's a little forest nearby. Some of us might live near forests, but you go out and walk around. You just simply walk around, even if it's just your neighborhood. Maybe you don't have anything nearby and you can go and walk around the neighborhood and see all the plants and things that the neighbors have grown and planted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and it's amazing, like the number of plants that thrive in the cracks of sidewalks.
Right.
That always fascinates me. But as you head out, you say out loud, or you can do it under your breath if you don't want to look crazy. Like my neighbors already think I'm crazy. They would have really thought I was crazy if I was planting naked out there. Mm-hmm. But you say, I am out here to find my plant ally. So you set out with that intent. That is your goal. You focus on that. You want to, that's what you're out there for, is to find your plant ally. So you meander about, you focus on your senses, the smells, the sights, the sounds. That will all help you keep you grounded in this present moment. Mm-hmm. Each time your mind tries to wander off to the past or the future, bring it back to the present by reminding yourself, hey, I'm out here to find my plant ally. So you keep an eye out for a plant that looks especially appealing to you. And I think we've all had those aha moments where we see something that just resonates with us. That's what you're looking for. And it could be a wild plant. It could be a weed. It could be, it might not be beautiful like you would be thinking of, oh, it's got to be a beautiful rose, but it might appear attractive to you. Like I do love dandelions, and a lot of people look at them and think they're disgusting because they're weeds. But
no,
to me,
beautiful though.
They are beautiful. So you might even have a doubt as you're walking as to whether this is maybe your plant ally or not. But if it is, It's gonna call to you, and you'll come back. You'll come back to that plant. Mm-hmm. So this article says you're going to know when it's your plant ally. And then you sit with your plant, which if it's in someone else's yard, you might not want to do. You might want to go and find one of your own somewhere. Your own. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go sit in my neighbor's front yard.
Don't trespass.
But sit with your plant, which is hopefully in your backyard or in your garden or out on the walking path in a park. Mm-hmm. And you settle on the earth beside it or as close as you can sensibly get to it. Like if it's a weed growing out of a crack in a walkway, just be aware that other people might be trying to walk there too. Mm-hmm. But you introduce yourself to the plant out loud. You tell them who you are, where you come from, and what you're doing sitting there with them. You make an offering. Plant spirits love gifts. Mm-hmm. So you could sing a song. You could recite a poem. You could tell them a story about you or about anything.
Then you look like a crazy lady talking to the plant.
I know. Then you ask the plant, what can I do to help reverse climate change? What is my unique role in fixing this mess? Or whatever question it is that you want to know that you need help with. Mm-hmm. And plants want to help. So by asking it, that's what they want to hear. They want to hear what you want. You rotate through your senses. So focus on the plant. Look at it closely, smell it, touch it, taste it. If you know it's edible, might not be edible, so that might not be a good idea. Mm-hmm. It is your single pointed focus on the present moment that's needed to get you into this right frame of mind. So sit there with your plant ally, and you may find that an idea or thought pops into your head. Jot it down into your journal if you want to remember it, and then return to your senses again. And perhaps you'll find yourself in a daydream, or maybe suddenly will know something that you didn't know a minute earlier. And that's what this author of this blog said happened to her. She said, this is what happens for me, is things just pop into my head that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And she says, or you might see a symbol or have a vision, and you sit in that moment for as long as it feels right. So when you're done with all this sensing and feeling and tasting and smelling, how do you feel? You start writing in your journal. What did you notice? What messages did you receive? What thoughts popped into your head while you were connecting with this plant? Write even if you don't feel like you received anything. Just write whatever you're thinking at the moment, because sometimes when you go back and reread it, you're like, oh, that's what that meant. Mm-hmm. So just write. And then it's a good idea to research more about this type of plant later. So if you don't know its name, get pictures, get close-ups of any flowers or fruit. There's an app that's called iNaturalist app, which is apparently a great tool for identification. I know there's other apps out there. I've seen plant identification apps before. Well, so
not plant identification ones. I have the ads that pop up on my social media is how to diagnose what's wrong with your plant.
That is so funny. That is appropriate.
So sad.
Thank you. Say thank you to the plant. Plant spirits appreciate being appreciated as much as they like gifts. So offer it another gift, maybe another song, or maybe pick up trash that's around the area, beautify the area around mm-hmm. that plant. Mm-hmm. So I had never, ever, ever heard of plant allies before. And that to me is the coolest thing. And I'm going to have to go out and see. And especially now with all the plants that are coming out in spring,
exactly, yeah.
I need to go find a plant ally. So that's pretty cool. Okay. So what do you want from your witchy garden? That is the key to figuring out how to do garden magic. What is it? What do you want?
I just want feeling that I can grow something, and just looking at the plants. Yeah. Just looking at the plants makes me happy.
Me too.
So I don't really want much.
Well, it could be that someone is growing their garden specifically for kitchen witchery. Mm-hmm. So it could be a garden meant for that. And if it's your main goal to get food from your garden, then you garden with intent. You plant vegetables and herbs that you're going to use in your kitchen magic. Mm-hmm. You learn the correspondences. You even research old family recipes, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I love mm-hmm. doing that. My mother had just moved and we have come up with a lot of old family recipes That's with handwritten nice. Notes yeah. next to them. So exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But collect those, research those recipes, anything that reminds you of certain feelings, like when you were growing up, and plant those plants that are needed for those recipes with that intention. Like for me, I love making salsa.
Okay.
And we have fiestas every summer, and it's wonderful to plant with the herbs and vegetables with that intent of enjoying that fiesta, that family time that we're going to have together. So the love from the plants then merges with the love during the cooking to create a really powerful magic. So garden magic and kitchen magic do go very hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
If your intent is that you want to be connected to the moon, that's what your passion is in your practice. So plant a moon garden. Mm-hmm. You know, if you if you are one of those witches that is super connected to the moon, which I love the moon as well, mm-hmm. then plant plants that bloom at night.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can plant plants near your ritual area or in a sacred circle for doing moon work. You can create, you know, if you do work with the moon, then you probably have an area outside. You can plant these flowers that bloom at night in your sacred space where you cast mm-hmm. your spells and do that kind of thing.
That would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking at anything to do with like moon gardening, because mm-hmm. I mean, I saw it in your notes, moon gardening, mm-hmm. and I was like, what is it? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited. So I wanted to go about it and kind of see how
do you do it?
Yeah. Like how, but in like the way of like per moon phase. So
yes,
you could create, you know, your garden designated to bloom and thrive with plants that reflect the moon phases. Like specifically, okay. This can involve planting flowers that bloom at night, like how you were saying, and arranging them in patterns that are symbolic of the lunar cycles.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't research any plants that bloom in
that
the
do
moon.
This.
but I think it would probably be a quick Google search. Because I'm not supposed to be buying any more plants. So I didn't even bother, because if I did, I'd be like, I need it.
No more.
Garden witches often synchronize their gardening activities with the phases of the moons. For example, they might plant seeds during the waxing moon from new moon to full moon to encourage growth. Prune or harvest during the waning moon from the full moon to the new moon to promote decline or removal of unwanted energy, and perform rituals or ceremonies during the full moon to harness its heightened energy.
Mm-hmm.
Moon gardens provide an ideal setting for conducting rituals or ceremonies under the light of the moon, which I love this idea.
Me too.
Oh, what is the cup that I have that I bought us when we first started this podcast?
Get naked, do witchcraft, something.
Yeah, like something like that.
Something and like that.
Whenever I think of that like saying, I think of it under the moon, like doing whatever mm-hmm. it is, like get naked, do witchcraft or something. And
under the moon.
Under the moon. It just sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
So moon gardens provide an ideal setting for conducting rituals and ceremonies. These mm-hmm. rituals may involve meditation, spell casting, divination, or simply connecting with the lunar energy and the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
Garden witches, in my brain, that sounded weird when I said it. It didn't make sense. Anyways, they may use tools such as moon water, which mm-hmm. I have plenty of. which is, if you don't know what moon water is, water that is charged in the moon's light, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that also is different per phase of what you charge mm-hmm. the water in. So you can use that. You can use crystals that are attuned to lunar energies, which.
Oh, you could do that in your potted plants on your patio.
I have
done
that.
Crystal. Oh, mm-hmm. have you? Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I'm trying to think. I need to buy more, I think.
No more. I can hear your husband now. He's twitching wherever he is. He's like, something's wrong here.
Yep. And then you can also, and like symbolic offerings to enhance your rituals as well under the moon gardening.
I do love the idea of a moon garden for sure.
I know, but I feel like I would miss it because I'm not outside in the evening as much.
I was just thinking I go to bed really early these days. I don't ever see the moon.
Yeah. So like the only time I get to see the moon is like through my kitchen window, which last night it was really pretty. It was a crescent. And it was
nice.
Really beautiful. And it just felt right. I don't know how to describe it, but I'm never outside to just see it.
Yeah, the most I do is put my water out to charge and then I use it in my bath. So I have I have the moon in my life through my ritual baths that I like to take.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. I mean, there's other kind of witchy gardens you can have. You might have a meditative space. That might be what you're wanting from your garden. Not so much to grow it for food or whatever. Yeah. You might want to have a space that you can connect with nature in. Outside, a sanctuary that you're looking for outside. And one idea that's really great for a sanctuary space is to grow sunflowers because they grow super tall and you could plant them in a circle and you will have this beautiful contained hidden space with sunflowers all around you. It's a really nice, cozy spot for your altar or for you to go outside and just meditate. Fountains are really good if you want a meditative garden. Any kind of water feature.
Oh, yes. I love a good water feature.
Brings that calming vibe to your outdoor space. Wind chimes, too. Wind chimes.
I love a good wind chime.
Yeah. They help you cleanse your area and they provide a magical feel. Bird feeders can bring wildlife to your area. Garden art, shrines, statues, little garden gnomes can help you create the space that feels right for you, for your meditation, for your rejuvenation that you might be, you know, and maybe you don't want any of that. You just want to have a bunch of animals in your backyard that you love animals like I do. And so if you want your backyard to be a haven for animals, then in addition to bird feeders, because of course, bird feeders and bird houses are great to bring birds to your backyard, but you can have bird baths. And that not only offers water to the birds, but also to other animals that are thirsty. I remember one year we had a vulture that landed in our yard and was trying so hard to get water out of our bird bath, but it wasn't a stable bird bath. And so every time they tried to land on it, it would spill. And I was like, I've got to go out and try to get water. And then, of course, they got scared and flew away.
Yeah.
And I know they were so thirsty. So now I know I try really hard to have a lot of water stuff features out there. I don't want it to go stagnant because that brings mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. Although mosquitoes might bring bats, and I do love bats because bats
That's a whole nother convo.
I love bats, but anyway. So have a water feature like me. I think you sent me this before. It was a meme or an article about water for bees. If you put a bowl of water out there, but you put marbles in it, then the bees can land on the marbles and they won't drown when they're trying to get their much needed water. So that's something that you could.
I don't think I sent you that. That's news to me.
I thought you had. Plant magic. Well, yeah, plant magic. Plants that will draw in the bees and the hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. Be sure that you use plants that are native to your area so that it's what your local wildlife needs, right? If you want to welcome deer, raccoons, and other wildlife, you can keep out fresh foods like nuts and corn cobs. Deer love corn cobs. My husband, if he's anywhere near, is like shuddering because he's like, we don't want deer in our yard. But I'm like, they won't eat the garden if I have other plants out there for him. And he's like, no. But anyway.
I vibe with that.
Become a beekeeper. This is the coolest idea. You just have to check with your HOA if you're in a neighborhood or your city and county ordinances about this, but bonus, not only can you bring bees that help pollinate, that's the word, everything, you can also get honey for all your witchy workings. And that would be lovely. Bug hotels and bee homes are also a fun idea. Since carpenter bees are my familiars, I have carpenter bee homes outside for them. And they fill up the little holes every year because that's where they put their little baby eggs and whatever it works. I don't know how they do their thing. But anyway, I put them up every year for them. I've got a new one this year that I'm going to put up. Bat boxes, of course. This is not only a nice home for the bats, but since bats eat mosquitoes by the thousands, that would make spending time in your garden that much nicer because you're not getting mm-hmm. eaten alive.
It's true.
You can have a fae garden. If you work with the fae and you want to have a space that's just for them in your garden area, consider the aesthetics that they might like. You could do a shade and light garden. And this I thought was a really cool idea. Many feel that the fae are divided into the seely and unseely courts, like the light and the dark courts. Mm-hmm. So plant a garden that has shade plants to represent the unseely court and full sun plants to represent the seely court to make it comfortable for the fae to come into your garden. Mm-hmm. Fairies enjoy a garden that is natural and a little unkept. They're not so into the cultivated, sterile type designs. They kind of like a wild garden. They need places that they can hide among taller grasses or under native wildflowers. And you don't need a lot of space. A fairy garden can be grown in containers or in window boxes. You can have a fairy garden out on your patio. Mm-hmm. The area should be quiet with a safe and secure feeling. A spot beneath a fragrant flowering shrub or a rose bush is ideal. Fae love shiny things. So use small ornaments or treasures to tempt the fairies into your garden. Plus, those are great decorations to make your garden look witchy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All fairy gardens need to include water. So bird baths, shallow bowls, or even little small offering cups filled with water will do the trick. And keep in mind that fae don't necessarily like iron. So be careful of what metals that you might use in your garden area.
There are a lot of like iron fences. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Interesting. Yeah.
So witchy garden design. So you've decided, yep, I want a witchy garden. How should I design it? Mm-hmm. Well, you can make a pentacle. You can plant your herb garden in a pentacle shape, which is what I'm doing this year.
That's what you're
doing. I'm so excited. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I got seeds from Wren this year for Christmas.
Yes.
So
yes.
I have planted them and they are germinating and I will plant them into my little pentacle once I get that done. And I am going to use river rocks to create the pentacle. Pentacle, the
river rocks.
River rocks.
It's not like you've heard jokes like that your entire
life. The river,
life.
All my life. Thanks, Mom. But I am super excited about it. And I think the river rocks are going to give it a really cool, witchy look. Shape. Yeah, mm-hmm. And look. Mm-hmm. You can do spirals. Spirals are another thing that are considered witchy. This might fit with your particular witchy aesthetic. You can use bricks or edging or river rocks like I'm going to do to create mm-hmm. a spiral. And then you plant your plants in between. So the plants grow in this beautiful spiral. Mm. You can do elemental shapes like plants facing the cardinal directions. Plant plants that correspond with north and south and east and west. Mm-hmm. Circles. Witches love a good circle. That's the perfect shape for a witchy garden. If you have a small space like a patio, you can buy witchy pots. If you can't do, you know, like on your patio, there's no mm-hmm. way you could do a huge pentacle in the middle of your patio floor.
Sadly, but my pots were bought pre-Wren.
Pre-witchy Wren.
Phase. Yeah. So pre-Wren. Everything had to be modern and gray.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And so everything like to our like bed sheets were gray and the comforter, like we had a duvet cover, was gray and lacked so much color.
Yeah, that's so funny because you're not that person now. Mm-hmm. You are all about the color.
I am all about the color. And I talked to, what was it last week, about painting my mirror again? Mm-hmm. And I had painted it a light cream color. And mm-hmm. I was looking at it and I was like, that is so fucking boring. So now it's a weird color that I mixed together. It's like kind of pink, brown, purple all at once. And it's okay for now. Yeah. It doesn't spark joy like how my yellow did.
Yeah.
Sadly. I'm going to find another color. But
that's a good comment now, to use about witchy gardens. And it should spark joy.
It should spark joy.
Choose whatever aesthetic sparks joy in your heart as a witch. Yeah.
So all of my pots that I have are So the two ones that, like, the two main ones for our bigger plants, like tomatoes or our, mm-hmm. we have poblano peppers, those are, like, I guess they're not boring. They're green.
Okay.
And then they're, like, a sage green. Well,
when we were at our
terracotta color stuff,
shopping trip, you bought the cutest pot.
Yeah, that one has my lavender in it.
Yeah, it's a little VW van. That's my
only cute pot. No, I can't say only because you did give me one not too long ago. It's like a little tiny one that I had my like a little bonsai tree in. That one died, sadly. It didn't die. I killed it on purpose because my cat was getting into it. And I had to put it outside so that she wouldn't start vomiting because mm-hmm. that specific variation of plant was poisonous. So I had to, it was my longest living plant that I had ever had.
Oh, wow.
Which is so sad. And I had to sacrifice it for my cat. But anyways, I have a very beautiful white and blue pot, but it won't fit anything. Like
you can
major,
you can buy some fun witchy ones off Etsy or Amazon, or like we went to that cute little store to get our plants. Mm-hmm. They always have fun eclectic.
They're so
things.
Expensive. I would buy everything in a heartbeat if I had the money.
Yeah, I mean, Etsy isn't too bad on and Amazon too. Etsy is more likely to have witchy stuff mm-hmm. than Amazon, but that's Amazon true. Probably does too. And then think about colors, plant flowers and plants by color for your magical intentions, mm-hmm. you know, black, if you want to have that goth garden, purples, whites, yellows, whatever it is that you want. And the correspondences of colors too, as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you are looking for ideas and you can't quite come up with your own aesthetic on what you want to do, go to Pinterest and just, search witchy garden ideas, and you can come up with all kinds mm-hmm. of pictures for ideas that might spark something that you want to do for your garden.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And then in addition to the pentacle that I'm going to have that I'm going to grow my herbs and stuff in, we also do raised beds in our garden.
Oh, that's which nice.
Are wonderful. Yeah, that's for our mm-hmm. vegetable garden. I love it. Mm-hmm. Makes weeding and tending that garden so much easier.
You're not
having to break your back and knees getting down there to weed. I love it. But it also is the perfect height for a deer to come munch on things. So yeah, we could have problems with that. But that's what we do for our, I don't make the raised beds witchy other than I think this year I am going to put like ceramic, I've got a ceramic cauldron, a little tiny ones, little ceramic mushrooms. When we go to the Renaissance Festival, I'm going to look at plants.
Gosh, I'm so excited.
Ceramics to put in my plants.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
So, but that's all I've got on witchy gardens. What about you?
That's all I have too. I mean, I could sit here and talk about all my experiences and all the things I would do in a garden, mm-hmm. but we don't have enough time for that.
Oh, you need to go and post your pictures from our shopping trip and your patio garden on our blog, because I posted mine.
I will do that.
Okay.
Are you ready for the outro?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you going to do it?
I always.
You always do it because I can't remember.
Well, if you want to hear more of our jibber jabber and our ranting and going off topic a lot, you can find more at www.c3witchypodcast.com. There we have links to all of our social media, all of our episodes, our newsletter, our merch, which is now out. Yay!
Our new merch. That's right. Yeah, we got new merch.
Just sparked. I remember now. Our merch is out. Go check it out. It is at www.c3witchypodcastmerch.com. We have designs like witchy designs. We have a design for Lammas that's coming up in Letha. Letha mm-hmm. comes before Lammas. But anyways, so go check that out. We're super excited. And then we're also trying to explore a little bit more options when it comes to our merch. So stay tuned, because we are trying to change a little bit of what platform we are using and who we partner with. And so we're just trying to find what works for us and what works for you guys, because we know that this partner is a bit expensive. And we also would like to have our own things. Like, we would like to purchase our own things as well. And so we are exploring other options. So stay tuned for that. We do think that we will change in the near future, maybe after this set of merches out, and we're working on our next one. So just stay tuned for that. And what else? Follow us on Patreon and Buzzsprout. That's mm-hmm. where you get bonus episodes and bonus content. That is all that information is also on our website.
Yep. We've got our After Dark series. We're up to episode 31, something.
I think. 30 something.
So 31, a whole different episodes about the darker mm-hmm. side of magic. Mm-hmm. We also have the Sabbat series, which is running, but everybody can get that on all of the same platforms.
Our Sabbat series is free. Woo!
Mm-hmm, it's free. But we'll be back.
We'll be back.
And until then, stay witchy. Woo.